big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're going to talk about GIFs or GIFs or however you want to call it. But we're going to talk about them in the context of the wrestling pastor. That's right. I have the wrestling pastor on today for my interview. And I'm really excited because it's very nostalgic. He brings back a lot of old, nice wrestling clips on there, including one of my favorites, Rowdy Roddy Piper. But he uses it as a great way to encourage and I think inspire other ministers. He gives us a good laugh and he uses GIFs very well and effectively. And so I invited him on to the podcast and it was just great talking with him, learning a little bit more about who he is and what he's passionate about in his ministry, but also how he's using the wrestling pastor and how he's using GIFs very effectively. So without any further ado, let's get into the interview right now with the wrestling pastor. Well, with me right now is Josh Revis. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about you?
I'm doing well. Okay, so this is our first time we've talked, you know, via Facebook, or not Facebook, but Twitter and text. But we have never, like, talked in person. So I'm actually really, really excited to talk to you because you go by Josh, but your other name is the Wrestling Pastor.
Yes, that is my alias, my also known as, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to talk to you because the Wrestling Pastor on Twitter has taken the Twitter world by storm, and it's, like, awesome. Like, it literally, I think, makes me laugh every single day. So,
Well, it's I don't know that it's taken the Twitter world by storm, but there is a small pocket that we're having a good time, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's get to know you a little bit first. So tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and then we'll get into the wrestling pastor.
Well, I'm 37 years old. I'm the associate pastor at a church here in Jacksonville, Florida, where my dad is the senior pastor. I'm a preacher's kid, so I've been in church my whole life. And so I've seen ministry from a multitude of angles. So yeah. Grew up in church as a pastor's kid. And then the church where we're at, where I serve, our family has been at for 27 years. And so I've been on staff here almost 13 years. And so I've been in, grew up here, went to college here in town. So I was serving at the church all the way through college and then went off to school. And so I interned at a church when I was in seminary doing my master's degree. And then the opportunity presented itself to come back and to serve at the church here, which I didn't really expect. But that opportunity came about. And so now I've been here full time since 2005. So I'm the associate pastor here. So it's preaching and, church-wide event planning and kind of day-to-day stuff. So
that's awesome. Okay. See, when you started talking, I was thinking that you might be like from Georgia or something like that, but you grew up in Jacksonville.
Well, North Florida is basically South Georgia. So we tell people when you look at the state of Florida, there's a little notch in the right-hand corner where Jacksonville is. And I always say that somebody sneezed when they were making the map and it should have gone straight across and we were supposed to be Georgia. But I was born in South Georgia. My dad pastored in South Georgia. So the accent is a combination of a dad from West Texas, a mom from East Tennessee, and then growing up around a bunch of people from South Georgia and North Florida. So it's just a bad hodgepodge of all those things.
That is awesome. That's very cool. Well, tell me a little bit about your passions. Like when you're doing ministry, what gets you most excited about ministry?
Man, I love preaching. It's one of those things where I had somebody tell me one time, they're like, you know, it must be nice to get paid to preach. And I told him I heard B.B. King, the guitar player, the musician, there's a quote I read by him once and somebody said the same thing to him, like, oh, you can't believe you get paid to play the guitar. And he was like, oh, no, they don't pay me to play the guitar. They pay me to travel. So preaching, you know, like for me, the work is not the preaching. I would preach if this wasn't my job. You know, I would be on a street corner or in a mission somewhere. So I love to preach. I love to teach people God's word. I love the art and the work of preparing and studying and crafting a sermon. So that's my favorite part. But I also love people. I love just being, you know, my dad and I, we call it like, some people have dreams of larger stages, and that's and I believe that God puts them on those platforms. But we're just happy being ordinary pastors, you know, just serving our congregation and shepherding our people and walking through their hurts and their joys. And we love the day to day of it.
That is awesome. That's fantastic. I should probably have you come speak for me, because I love to share God's word, but I over time I've found that doing a sermon has not been one of my strong points. Of like, I'd rather lead a discussion or facilitate a discussion, and we kind of work it all together. How do you mix the two between just preaching and giving the sermon and really engaging your audience? Is there something that you do, a trick that you do that really works?
Well, I feel like I believe there's a difference between preaching and teaching. I believe that teaching is a section of, or, you know, a portion of preaching, that we're teaching is sort of the communication of information, but preaching demands a response. It's this, every time you see anybody in scripture, whether it was Jesus or John the Baptist or Peter or one of the prophets, they were communicating the truth. But then there was this, all right, now the congregation is responsible to do something with this. There's this call to respond to it, to respond in obedience. And so I believe that, and I believe it's sinful for preaching to be boring. I mean, it's just like there's an old quote by a preacher, and he said, you don't, you know, we want to thrill them with the word. It's this idea that we want to fill them with the word, and we want to thrill them with the word, that it should be an exciting thing. And people can sense what you're passionate about. You know, people, it's not that people aren't passionate. It's just a question of what they're passionate about. And when you're passionate about the word and about the gospel and about what it can do in people's lives, and when you've really prepared, and, you know, preaching for me is the overflow. Like when I get into the pulpit on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, it's you know, that thing has been boiling over for a few weeks, and then the days leading up to it. So it's, you know, that's kind of my philosophy on it.
That's awesome. Well, I was, trained ministry wise. I have a student ministry background, and I grew up with Young Life, and Young Life has same, hey, it's a sin to bore a kid with the gospel. And so it's kind of like the same thing what you just said. And I agree completely. If you have the right preparation and you have the right knowledge and you're sharing it with people, it really can be a very exciting thing. And I like how you said it demands a response. So
that's
really cool. All right. So let's get into this, what I really wanted to talk to you about, this wrestling pastor. And I say this very selfishly, because all the stuff that you share on the wrestling pastor, and I can identify with it, obviously, as a minister, but then I can identify the clips, because so many of these clips are like, oh my gosh, these are like old school clips that you are pulling out. So what gave you the idea of creating this wrestling pastor?
Well, I've been on Twitter for a long, like on my regular account for, you know, since 2008, 2009, something like that. And it was, you know, it became sort of, I would get sports news, or I would follow other preachers that I enjoyed, and, you know, like getting fantasy football updates, you know, stuff, the very important things in life. But it kind of changed for me when it was a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they put it to where you could put, and there's big debates, is it GIF or is it JIF? But where you could embed these animated picture files in your tweet. Like it wasn't an Instagram link to a picture. It wasn't a still photo, but you also didn't have to put the whole video in. All of a sudden you could put these six or seven clips and they were looping. And so then there was sort of this joke culture on Twitter that appeared of, you know, it would be that moment when, or Monday's got me feeling like, and it's, you know, somebody getting run over or falling down. And it just made me laugh. And so I would start using those. That was kind of my sense of humor. And then I started finding, and what's crazy is, because wrestling has been on TV for so long, and it's on every single week, and I grew up watching wrestling, there's just infinity wrestling gifs on the internet. It's unbelievable. It's an endless supply. And so, and I loved wrestling, and there's just so many funny clips. And so what I found is, periodically on my personal timeline, I would do stuff with wrestling ones. And anytime I did one that related to ministry, because I've always, to me, Like, I take the word of God very seriously, but I do not take myself very seriously. And so, and ministry is just funny. Like, church culture is different. People act at church like they don't act anywhere else. And so there's all these little common experiences that I realized when I would post about them, that got kind of the most response. Mm-hmm. And so then when, you know, that sort of feeds the beast. And so then I would post more. And then I realized one day, like, all my regular, like, my followers who aren't in church or who aren't in ministry are going to think this is dumb. I've got to stop doing this or they're going to unfollow me. Yeah. And so I thought, well, I can just make this its own thing. And so I like in November, a couple years ago, like 2016, I looked up and said, I wonder if this tag is taken. So I just typed in wrestling pastor and it was available. And I felt like I'll do this and I'll send it to the 15, 20 of my followers that are enjoying it, that think it's funny. And then we'll just kind of have a little inside joke and I'll almost treat it like a group chat. But it started small. It started with 10, 15 people.
Yeah.
But then they were tagging their friends and going, hey, you got to see this. And then they'd share it with somebody and go, hey, you just dealt with this last week. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And it's the strangest thing that I've ever been a part of, how much people have responded to it. It's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, dude, I mean, seriously, I look at it. I don't even know how I discovered it. It must have just been someone must have retweeted one of your things.
But that's normally how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, but the response you get is just so funny. I mean, it's just so amazing. Like, I literally crave that. I'm like, man, I wish I could get this guy's response, you know, to some of my tweets. But, like, okay, so how often do you post? I see once a day, but I mean, do you have a strategy behind what you're posting?
Yeah, from the very beginning, because also, like, I've got a family, I've got a job, you know. It's like, I didn't want to be the one thing I and I'd followed other, and there are folks that do this anonymous stuff really well. Like, I've got a friend, the unappreciated pastor, you know, Reverend No Respect. And if you've ever, he's got tons of followers, and I mean, he's so funny. And I found that the ones who were doing it well, it was kind of, I just wanted people to know what to expect. So I just decided I'm going to do this once a day. That'll be kind of a creative outlet. So every day about 7 a.m, I post one. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the general rule. Occasionally something will happen sort of in the news or in church life that I'll just kind of throw up something randomly, you know, whether like the Super Bowl may be on or something like that. And then there's been a few times when, like last year, we had a hurricane come through our town. And so so we were just locked in our house and sitting around and there's no power, but we had cell service. And so I decided to do this thing called Ask the Wrestling Pastor. So I just sat for an hour and people sent me like problems they were having at their church. And I just responded as the wrestling pastor with what would he do? How would he handle it? Which is always a terrible way to handle it. But generally it's once a day. And so people hop on in the morning and then, you know, I can kind of tell pretty quickly which ones are going to ring a bell and which ones, you know, people are just giving me a sympathy like. So it's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah. And I saw that when you were at like Bible camp or a camp.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would post throughout during the, would post specific to that as well. That was really cool, especially during the summer when so many of us are going to camps and doing that kind of experience.
Yeah, there's certain things like we do vacation Bible school and then we've got youth camp and I end up speaking at quite a few student camps and so I get lots of material there. So when I'm sort of away from my job and I've got a little bit extra time and I'm bouncing around a camp, I'll post because like a student camp, I could do 100 posts about youth camp, you know, but you can do 3 or 4 a day. And I don't know. I think it's kind of therapy for youth pastors. So yeah, I will do stuff like that occasionally.
Yeah. Well, what has been, other than the following and the response, what has been one of the biggest surprises that you've had about just the wrestling pastor?
I'll tell you what's shocking is I never thought, well, one, it's given me a lot of connections. Like I've just met like you, like I just met random people I would have never met outside of this really weird Twitter account. But then also just meeting guys, like I'll have guys, you know, a couple times a week send me a DM and go, hey man, you know, I've had this really hard situation in my church and this makes me laugh every day and I appreciate it. And I never intended for it to be that, but I think there's some sort of, there's like this common bond. And I think that there are guys, especially maybe in a church that by the world standard is considered a smaller church or whatever numerically, or maybe they feel a little isolated because of where their church is. They just don't have a lot of other pastor friends around them. And you can start to think that, man, I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. And I think there's something kind of cathartic about when you look at one of these posts and all of these other people are going, oh my gosh, me too. This, I'm dealing with the same thing. This frustrates other people. That kind of gives them a little shot in the arm of like, okay, I'm not the only one out here. Like, I'm not the only one who this frustrates. I'm not the only one struggling. I'm not the only one with people like this in my church, you know? Yeah. So that's the one thing we all have in common.
No, I agree with you 100%. Like, I love Twitter a lot. And so, I'm constantly on it, posting and doing different things. But a lot of the Twitter friends I have, I would never have been able to meet unless it was for social media or for Twitter. Like, some of them are across the country, or again, like you, just reaching out to you and talking to you. Like, it provides great connections and a great opportunity to learn from each other and encourage each other. And that's what I see with the wrestling pastor, is that it makes me laugh. It also makes me think, yes, like what you said, I'm going through, I've experienced that before.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one. So it's been really kind of encouraging. And I'm very nostalgic too. So I love all the old clips that you have of wrestling.
Yeah, me. Well, and the other thing, but just before I forget about the Twitter thing, Twitter can be so toxic, and especially Christian Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just people fighting, and it's, you know, people looking for a reason to pick a fight with somebody else that they don't even know, and just all the trolls. And so I really am intentional about, like, I am not controversial with the wrestling pastor. It's one of these things. It's purposely vanilla. Like, it's one of these things. I'm not going to take pot shots at certain theological beliefs. I'm not going to go at denominations. I'm not going to, for me, it's very like, here's the very, and because of that, I have a very atypical Twitter experience with the wrestling pastor. I think I've had, like, and I'm not exaggerating, 2 or 3 people ever not get what I was posting. Like kind of a troll response of like, how dare you, you know, say this.
Yeah.
It's out of all the followers that I have, the retweets and all the things that happen, to only have that, it's so rare. And I think it's because, like, I've tried to just sort of foster this, like, healthy, fun, like, this is just for a laugh. We can enjoy, you know, this type of thing. Because I have people from all, if the people knew who they were following along with, they would all be fighting with each other. But it's like, I tried to create this one thing that everybody can agree on, which is like, it's okay to laugh sometimes at what's going on in ministry. So, and that's been fun to just be able to get on Twitter and it be a good experience. So,
yeah, well, I agree with you completely. And I talk about this a lot, is that we have an opportunity in today's world to be digital missionaries and to be encouraging people and giving hope to people. And again, that's why a lot of what I say too on Twitter will be very vanilla and just try to encourage people rather than to try to stir up controversy or anything like that. There's enough controversy all over social media. We don't need to be adding to it.
Well, yeah. And the next time that somebody changes somebody's mind on Twitter will be the first time. I've never seen a Twitter interaction end with the person go, you know what? That was really well reasoned and you changed my mind. It's never happened.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, and nobody would talk to anybody this way if they were sitting across a table from them or at a, you know, at a coffee shop or in a church office somewhere. But for some reason, it feeds this sort of like, I just want to say what I want to say and everybody needs to listen to it. And I don't want to hear what you have to say. And so I was like, that's not what this is going to be. Like, I'm just not going to be caustic with this thing.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, is a random question, but did you have a favorite wrestler growing up?
Yes. Well, we had sort of fun. Like, I grew up, I loved wrestling growing up. I have 2 brothers that are younger than me, but we're all like within 4 years of each other. So we grew up wrestling each other and watching wrestling. And so we would watch Saturday wrestling, you know, WWF would come on Saturdays. And then our big favorite thing was I was a Blockbuster kid. So we grew up in the Blockbuster video generation. And so every Friday after school, my dad would take us to Blockbuster Video. And then we would make a beeline. If you went in, there was always the whole entire exterior of Blockbuster, like the walls were new releases. And so we would go to the far right, like alphabetically of the new, because on the bottom right hand in the W's was all of the wrestling pay-per-view. VHS's was what it was back in the day. So we would go in and see, like, oh, did SummerSlam come out or did Survivor Series come in? And so we would snap up ones we had watched before and new ones. and we would watch those. And then where I live in Jacksonville, WWF never came to town, but WCW would always come to Jacksonville. Yeah. So we grew up, like, my dad used to take us to Nitro all the time when it
was
this is like in the heyday, late 90s, the NWO had just formed, like, at this just sort of the peak of craziness of wrestling.
Yeah.
But when we were growing up, we were big WWF. And so I loved, gosh, we loved, you know, which you're not allowed to anymore, but we liked Hulk Hogan. And but the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man and the Legion of Doom. And, you know, that was kind of, that was our golden age, you know, when, you know, we loved hating Mr. Perfect. And that was, you know, that's what we grew up on. And then as we started to go see like WCW and some of these others, man, I thought Ric Flair was so funny, and I liked the Four Horsemen. And so it was just all that kind of, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, wrestling.
Yeah, that's right around mine as well. I mean, again, I grew up, we loved watching Saturday morning wrestling on television. We even went in D.C. We used to have a place called the Capitol Center, and it got demolished ever since. But my dad took us one Christmas, got us tickets for WWF, and we got to see Hulk Hogan, and it was like this amazing experience as a kid.
Oh yeah!
But then
they were superheroes. Like, my kids love the Avengers, you know, and we just didn't. I didn't read comic books, so wrestlers were my superheroes. Like, I was all in on this good versus evil, you know. Like, and even though I knew it was scripted, or, you know, I tend not to use the word fake. I've got a couple buddies that actually have wrestled in the past, and I know that what they are doing is really, though the outcome is scripted.
Yeah.
It was still like, we just loved it. You know, it was just, you know, it was our superhero movies.
That's really cool. I'm right there with you. Okay. Do you have any women that follow you on the wrestling path or interact with you?
I do. It's usually ministers' wives, because there's nobody that understands it, I think, almost better than the pastors themselves is their wives. And so, but yeah, there's quite a handful, you know. It is a pretty men, you know, male heavy following, but there's a lot of ladies that follow along and get a kick out of it and interact on a regular basis, because again, and that's what I do, is I try to really, like, it's not just, it started as almost strictly kind of pastoral stuff. Like, you know, about people fussing about bylaws and the stuff that was very minister centric.
Yeah. But
then as I started to branch out into like just general church life, about, you know, the lady who hugs you even though you just want to shake hands, and though, you know, like stuff like that, then the following started to kind of grow into just, you know, other just folks who are just, you know, church folks, church members, believers who are going to church every week and having a common experience.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, and then last question for you is, where do you see this going? Do you have plans? Are you working on things down the road?
No, you know, it's one of those where it's given me some great opportunities to go places and speak. I had no plans for it to be this. Like, if it ended tomorrow, it was fun 2 years. And so as I kind of told myself, I'm never going to, I've never paid to promote a tweet. I have no interest in, like, even the fact, like, I'll sell some t-shirts and stuff. That was because I had just had so many people going like, hey, I really want a t-shirt. So I print those and sell them, but I don't really do it to make money as much as just to, you know, it's kind of a kick to see people wearing them. But as long as it's encouraging people and people are getting a kick out of it and I feel like it's beneficial, I'll keep doing it. But I'm not married to it. But so it's one of those where, you know, I had no idea it would get to the point. I haven't even looked to see where the follower count is, that it would get to where it is, you know, less than 2 years later. So I really don't, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, hey, one day at a time. I mean, again, it keeps on encouraging and inspiring and creating good conversations with people. So
I have no doubt, like, I'll never run out of material. It's just a question of whether or not people still want to hear the material. You know, that's really what it amounts to.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about you. Like you said, you have so many clips that you can pull from for wrestling clips, and then you have so much content every day in the church life. You know, it's something different. So,
and the other thing, and I'll just tell folks that may be listening, what's funny is two or three times a week, what I end up posting, I didn't come up with. Like, somebody DM'd me. Like, some guy will be like, hey, you should do one about this. I think maybe one of the biggest ones I've ever had, I did one last week with the Bushwhackers with Father Abraham, the song we all sang growing up.
Yes.
And a guy sent me that. He was like, hey, have you ever thought about doing Father Abraham with the Bushwhackers? And I was like, no, but that's brilliant. And so I put it, I was like, you care if I post that? He's like, nah, go for it. And so somewhere I tweeted the guy back. I was like, man, you nailed it. It was a home run. So yeah, that's why I say it's kind of free therapy, because periodically guys will send me stuff and go, hey, please do this because I'm dealing with this right now and I'm not allowed to post about it. So I do it and they just retweet it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Josh, this has been awesome connecting with you. I appreciate you taking some time. How can people connect with you? Obviously, they can connect with you with the Wrestling Pastor, but do you have any other places that people can connect with you with?
Yeah, they can follow on Twitter. It's on Facebook. I haven't posted there in a while. I'm not good about putting it on Facebook because I find it just doesn't translate as well on Facebook. The people on Facebook don't get it. Like, Facebook's a different crowd.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they think it's real, and they're kind of the people. I tell people they're the ones you have to explain that Babylon Bee articles are fake. So that's so I do it occasionally over there. But Twitter's the big deal. People can follow along there. And then if they want to, you know, follow along with my just regular random everyday thoughts, you can find me on Twitter, just Josh Revis. And I'm over there, and there's way less followers over there, but I don't take it personally because I like the Wrestling Pastor better than me anyway. So,
well, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate it. So thanks so much for joining me today, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right, so there you have it, my interview with Josh and the Wrestling Pastor. He was fantastic. And again, I just love how he's using gifts to encourage us, to inspire us, and to give a good laugh. I mean, it's just something very simple. And again, it wasn't this big strategic plan that he did. He just had a lot of fun doing it, and it just kind of snowballed. And now I see retweet after retweet, comment after comment on his tweets. So he's doing a fantastic job. He's bringing a lot of smiles to a lot of ministers' faces. And so it's been really cool. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Have you followed him yet? If not, get on Twitter and even get on Facebook and follow him and laugh along with them. But what have you enjoyed about the Wrestling Pastor and what he's doing? I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Get on Twitter at TA Pounder and tweet me what you're enjoying about it. And actually, even if you wanted to tweet me about one of your favorite Wrestling Pastor gifts that he's done, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. But I would also love to hear your thoughts on this of, hey, what other things can we use digitally to inspire and encourage other people? Again, Josh is using gifts to do that, and he's using wrestling to do that. There are other things that you can do to inspire and encourage other people. And I want to encourage you to be thinking outside the box. What can you be doing to inspire and encourage other people? And maybe it's a set of gifts that are centered around something else, like what Josh is doing with the Wrestling Pastor. I don't know. But that's why I love digital tools. That's why I love technology. And again, that's what some of the things we talk about on the Digital Bootcamp. So if you're not on the Digital Bootcamp Facebook group, we are talking about different topics all throughout the year. Each week we take a different topic and learn how we can be applying these digital tools into our ministries so that we can be reaching more people for Christ. And I bet you that Josh is reaching a ton of people that don't even know who God is, but that they're seeing tweets and retweets of his posts all over. And again, it's a good opportunity for us. So if you haven't joined the Digital Bootcamp group, you can connect with it. I have the show notes on, I have the link on the show notes, so you can do that. I have all of Josh's links on the show notes as well, and so you can click there. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. So glad that you joined me. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to it, go to iTunes, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. There you can get all my blogs, but the podcast, the vlogs, the stuff on Digital Bootcamp, and my ebook on Twitter as well. You can connect there at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.